So today we are moving into the next tetrad, that means the next four stages. And the each of the four, there are 16 stages in Anapanasati Sutta. Each four corresponds to one of the four foundations of mindfulness. And probably you heard this before. The first four relate to body, the second four relate to feelings, the third four, namely, nine, ten, 11, 12 relate to citta, which is mind and heart, and it's the third of the four foundations of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta, just to make the connection. So today, instructions are around mind. And mind becomes the object of our meditation. And this is more clearly maybe what you would recognize already as vipassana. And I'll talk about this. It depends and is influenced by what we did before. So everything that we've done before preparing us for looking at the mind with the mind. The calmness is needed. The ease, ninahut, ease, the joy of being alive. It's those simple qualities are really helpful when we need to look at the mind, with the mind. Because we need tools for this. It's not so easy. So we turn towards the mind. As in the Satipatthana Sutta and in the Anapanasati Sutta, the same qualities are brought to each stage or each object of meditation. The qualities of calm and yet energy. The power of looking. To be alert. Alert is awake or as sharp as we can, clear as we can. To be interested. And here it's an important point that energy doesn't need to come from struggle. I must look, I must keep going, I must have another breath, I must go, I must sit for longer, I must... It can also come from simply interest. As we go to movies to see other people's lives, but the best movie we can ever, ever see is our own life. So, yeah, it's a bit of a sometimes action movie. Seretz Metach. But still, it's really interesting when we get close to our own mind. It's the best opera savant we can think of. So from interest, we get energy. And also, we can drop the disturbance that comes from the kind of hunger of, I want it like this, I want it like that, I want my life to be like that. The sense of something outside pulling us all the time, that has to be actively let go of. So just let go of all of that stuff. I need these conditions, those conditions. We still are involved and close to the breathing. We keep coming back to breathing, to awareness of breathing. And it really helps us when we go through distraction, when we lose the track, when we feel disconnected, when we feel distracted, when our mind is wandering off. When the energy changes and we feel energy goes down or energy goes up and we get agitated. When we need to rest a little bit and renew the chadesh, the calmness and the samadhi. When we just need to connect ourselves with our life, very simply and very basically. And also when we need to be more intimate, more close to the object of meditation. The breath helps us. So in all these kinds of situations, we leave everything and return to the breath. And if we're walking or standing, we leave everything and return to the contact with the ground or the weight of the body or the bodiness of the body. So there is our place that where we renew our practice, where we empower our insight and we give power to our mind and calmness and concentration, samadhi. So we can choose when to go back to the breath. It's up to us. There are no real rules. The breath is just available for us. But I would say that whenever we go back to the breath, because we feel it's right, then to be more subtle, to feel the in and out breath all through the body, for example, right down to our toes, we feel the breath. We feel prana, the flow of sensations and breathing. So it helps us to be in the microscope, like really close and intimate. And this helps samadhi. So the first of the four instructions on this tetrad, this quartet, is breathing in, breathing out, we experience the mind. So one aspect of mind is simply state of mind. How is our mind right now? Is it dull? Is it sharp? Is it tired? Is it calm? Is it agitated? Is it full of yellow dust like the weather? What's the weather inside our mind? Mezigavir pnimi. Is it concentrated or is it not? Is it elevated, meaning we feel open and expanded, or we feel contracted? So here we're not changing the mind, we are just observing the weather inside as it is, just meeting the mind. Turning the attention to the mind. So besides the state of mind, there is the content of mind. And that means the stories, the scripts, tasritim, thoughts, memories, thoughts about the future or the past. Can be pleasant, unpleasant, positive, negative, whatever they are. And that's another aspect of mind that we meet, the content, what the mind is saying. And there is one other aspect of mind. The content is like the waves on the ocean. And another aspect of mind is consciousness, which is just being aware. The ocean, not just the waves. The mind is knowing. The background. Background awareness. What happens between thoughts? That's also mind. So we turn to all of that without trying to be a sensor, without trying to have one experience or another experience, just seeing the mind with the mind. The second of the four instructions is gladdening the mind. And someone gave a petek, a note to Leela this morning, with the Hebrew translation of gladdening, which I've sort of forgotten. But it's maybe aliz?
Listen.
It's maybe, but it's more like, I'll explain it and you can decide what the translation is. It's a kind of interest and love of the practice. The gladdening of the mind is, I'm really happy to be here doing this. That's what it is. It's different from just happiness because we have a good day or we have a good meal. It's a gladness of, wow, I'm really happy that this is happening now. I'm really happy that I can practice Dharma. I'm really happy that this is possible. I'm really happy that I can get hold of my mind and see it and let it go and work with it. I'm really happy that I have tools for my own transformation and my own liberation. It's this kind of gladness. It's the gladness of practice. It's a feeling of being at home in our practice. And it's the gladness that comes with insight, when we can look again at what we experience at our inner world with new eyes. We can see things fresh and new. We are not burdened with the old, with the past, with tavniot, patterns. The sense of lightness from inner freedom is the gladness. And it also tells us, this gladness is telling us that the whole practice is not mechanical. Citta is mind-heart, is not mind. There's always heart with mind. They go together all the time. So it's the heart, it's the love that might come. Also the compassion. I'm really happy to be here doing this practice. It's just love. I'm really happy to be seeing the ants outside and the birds, hearing the birds in the morning. That's gladdening of the heart. The third of the four instructions, number 11 in the 16, is concentrating the mind. So we were already doing that. So it's just keeping on going deeper into calmness. And we can also a little bit understand that concentrating the mind is steadying the mind. It's making us steady, not wobbling. So imagine we're walking somewhere, and you know, in our daily life, we need to go somewhere. And it may happen that every step we think, oh, maybe I do need to do this. Maybe I don't need to do this. Maybe I'll do something else. Maybe I can go there instead. Maybe I'll get a taxi. Maybe I'll get a bus. Maybe I'll walk. Well, if you can imagine that dialogue inside us. And the steadying of the mind is just a sense, I'm walking on this path, step by step. Nothing else to do with it. The same here. I'm steady, I'm sitting quiet, breathing, being. Nothing needs to knock me over. Nothing needs to push me away. Or I'm just here, steady, like a rock. The steadiness is quite earthed. It's not being spaced out. It's quite grounded. It's connected to right effort, meaning a balance not too tight and not too loose. Not too much struggle and friction, and not too much just drifting. It's between the two, a sense of steady persistence, that's concentration. Himshechiyut. The fourth of these four instructions is liberating the mind. And this really is what many of us have been doing in the past as Vipassana. It's basically non-clinging, not holding on to things. And here I want to mention, and I'm probably going to give a talk about this, that mindfulness itself, sati, because this sutta, Anapana Sati Sutta, is the mindfulness of breathing sutta. So we are in the territory of mindfulness. But when we're talking about liberating the mind, mindfulness has many dimensions. And it always goes with other words. For example, it goes with apamada. And apamada is responsibility. So as we liberate our mind, we also have responsibility for our mind. And we have responsibility for the world. And the two go together, because if we know what our mind is doing, and we can hold, in a way, our mind with attention, we can also take responsibility for our mind. And when we take responsibility for our mind, we take responsibility for our behavior and our actions in the world. So this is where mindfulness has an ethical dimension. And it's often used, the word that you find in the text is guardian. We guard the mind from unhelpful, unskillful, harmful, difficult states of mind. We guard, so mindfulness becomes a guard. And that's apamada. It's kind of, I'll probably give a talk on this during this retreat. It's sometimes translated in English as being heedful, which is really old English. Taking responsibility, being careful, taking care of what's going on in us, rather than being neutral or passive in just watching. Another quality of mindfulness that is we should be aware of in liberating the mind is sampajana. It's every time in these suttas, sati is mentioned, it goes with sampajana. And sampajana means the context, seeing the big picture. So mindfulness can lead us sometimes into a small place of looking at details like we're looking at a thought arising and disappearing. But sampajana gives us a global sense of awareness, a sense things passing, a sense of, for example, where are we when a thought disappears? What happens to us when a thought arises and goes? Where are we then? Sampajana also tells us about the context, which is a wisdom. This thought is happening because of the one before. This thought is happening because of what I see through my senses. This thought is happening because of what happened to me this morning. This thought leads to something similar. All its children and grandchildren are arriving because of this thought. That, all of that is the wisdom of getting close to the mind. So it's engagement. And a context, and the wisdom of seeing that every mental event, it doesn't come kind of blank. It has a before and an after, and a ground, and a result. But basically liberating the mind is just that sense of letting go of material and states that arise because they come and they go anyway. Nothing stays. So everything has in it its own end. Where there's birth, there is death. The birth of a thought means that it's bound to die and go. Emotion too. It comes and it goes. Takes a little longer, but it also has its end already in its beginning. And be aware of the space that opens up when we see the beginning and ending of things. We begin to feel more open and spacious. And that's liberating the mind. We can drop stuff. We feel more light. We feel more free. This morning I had a conversation with somebody and we discussed the relationship between this retreat and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the days between, and how that the best preparation, which is totally in line with the deeper Jewish teaching, is our ability to let go of the past, to drop what was, to not carry the past with us on our shoulders, to go to the zero place in us, the place which is the place of renewal. And like the day Yom Kippur, it's day, kind of shamanistic day, when we go back to Ephes, to zero. And from there we start the year again. Clean, forgiven, forgiveness, wiping the past, be ready for the future, renewing the karma, changing the karma. So it's very right to do this now, at this time, in the Jewish tradition too. So it's a process where we really let go of what's holding us, what's imprisoning us, what we believe to be true, what we carry, and just see it passes, because it passes by itself. Everything has a beginning and an end. And so this realization is liberating the mind. Now you may have, in this period of the retreat, the hindrances may arise, and hindrances can be desire, need, neediness, or aversion, not wanting, feeling stressed about things that you have, you don't have, you know, stimulation through the senses. It can be tiredness, it can be agitation, isheket, can be confusion, doubt, and loops in the mind, and so on. So if these hindrances arise, they're not problems, they're kind of mind-body expressions. We give space to them through our samadhi. So they're not a problem to meditation, they are the meditation. I think it's better to say when, not if, because everybody experiences hindrances of one kind or another, even if they're delicate. So when you experience a hindrance, and it can be delicate sense of, for example, restlessness. And as soon as we know that, we just say, it's a hindrance. Okay, restlessness is arising. That's okay. That's the place of meditation. That becomes our object of meditation. That's the place where our body-mind, because they are body and mind, where our body-mind is telling us, here is where you're not free, here is conditioning, here is what's written into the body-mind through experience and conditioning and difficulty and pain. And look at it in the same way. How is it arising? What is its qualities? And how is it coming and going? And that's the hindrances, same as as mind. And a final word. Pay attention to what opens up when something goes. What's the space that's freed in us when we let go of something because it's going anyway? What kind of space opens for us? And be there and feel it. Can be tendencies, repeating thoughts, that when we see, it's just a thought that comes and goes. And be alert and awake to the space that opens up when we let go of stuff. And we find that's a beautiful territory of lightness and freedom and inspiration that opens to us when we're not burdened with forms, memories, thoughts, scripts, and so on. So let's take 15 minutes to practice.